Beginning, I talked a little bit about Advent and what it is. So, it means coming. The word is a Latin word, so from the Roman Empire times. It means coming, and the actual Latin word is Adventus. Adventus. So, think about Advent. Tell me what other words that you can think of have that as a root. Thank you. What else? You're like, man, I'm having to think too hard. No, that's adverse, not advent. I'm glad that doesn't, otherwise I'd mess up the whole sermon, Mercedes. Like, wait, is that there? It has the prefix, the same prefix. Well, just the root of the word. So the word adventure. Have you ever heard of the word venture? Venture, that's from that same root, Adventus. When you think of denominations, there's a denomination that uses the word. Do you remember who they are? Seventh-day Adventist. Was it Adventist? I'm going, wait a minute, my brain just left. Seventh-day Adventist, and part of what they are core in believing is in that second coming of Christ. That's what they're looking for. So, an adventure. I love that word. Love that word. Have you ever thought of the season of Advent as an adventure? Have you ever thought of venturing into new territory? It involves risk-taking. It involves taking a chance. And it involves great anticipation. Are you excited? You don't look excited. I don't buy it. Think about Christmas. When we think about Christmas, some of us go, it's going to be so much work. I've got this to do and this to do and this to do. So if I ask you, what's on your to-do list for the next few weeks, what would be there? Come on, fess up, be honest. You're not doing anything for the next 3 weeks? This is great. You're going to come to everything we're doing at the church. You've now taken away every excuse. Every single excuse. Because now I know you're not doing nothing. And I'm going to invite you over. You can decorate my house. You can, because I got a lot to do. I got a lot to do. So, I know you're doing stuff. And just like in Scripture, when we look at Advent, it's a time of preparation. It's a time of anticipation, but it's a time of preparation. It was originally, Advent was not around the birth of Christ. Did you know that? That's not where it started. Advent was a time of preparing for baptism at Epiphany. Okay, now, churched people, what's Epiphany? All we think of is in the culture. I had an Epiphany. What's Epiphany? Yes. It's one day. Thank you. There you go, Mercedes. It's when the wise men came. And if you don't know who the wise men are, like I talked about in the beginning, we'll be talking about that next week. So you'll get that filled in. Then it became, as the years, the centuries went by, it was a time of reflection and preparation for the second coming of Christ. Didn't have anything to do with the first one. Did you know that he's coming again? Do you know that? Some of you may not know that. That when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven in front of the eyes of his followers, and he promised that he's coming again. And he's going to come. Do you remember how it's described? Out of the clouds, on a white horse. He's got all in his glory and his power. And so we look forward to that. That's part of what Advent is. And it wasn't until the Middle Ages, you know, think of the knights, you know, like King Arthur and stuff like that, that it became something surrounding the birth of Christ. And so now we have three things as Christians that we celebrate at Advent. We celebrate the first coming of Christ. We celebrate the second coming of Christ. Now, here's the big one. Extra credit. What's the third coming? Pastor's lost her mind. We could go there, but that's not what Advent is. I mean, yeah, he is. That's all wrapped into the second coming. But that's a good answer, Betty. Good thinking. It's already happened if you're a believer. If you are a believer, then you have invited Jesus Christ into your heart. And he has come into your heart. Okay? So those that are believers have already experienced two. You've experienced remembering the birth of Christ, and you've experienced having him come into your heart. Those of you who are not yet believers, invite him in. Invite him in. Say, Lord, I confess, I messed it up without you. Please come. Come, that wonderful word. Come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And he'll say yes. He will come. And then we all look forward to when he finally comes back. There's all sorts of stuff about that as we look at how people have approached it. So Advent is an adventure, and it is a venture. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a theme, and if you've read some of the stuff, whether it's in the e-flyer or whether when you get Claire's newsletter, you'll see this series called Rethink Christmas. And I talked about it last week a little. What two words are in the middle of it? Think Christ, okay? So rethinking Christmas means to think about Christ and to focus on him. And so when I was creating this series, I had so much fun. And I'm going to let you have just a little fun right now, okay? So here's the thing. I started thinking about all the words that start with R-E. I did this in the leadership team, and they drove me crazy. They came up with so many so fast. And they came up with some that I hadn't come up with, and they were good. What words can you think of that start with R-E?
Remember.
Remember. Ready? Well, see, you go into, think of one where it starts and you say re. Okay, but I mean, you're right. Starts with R-E. Starts with R-E. But if we go there, we'll never get out of here. And I got a sermon. I got a sermon here. Okay. Yes, Lori. Return. What else?
Resist.
Resistance is futile. Yes, Nikki.
Reiterate.
Woohoo. There you go. Revive?
Relief.
Yes.
Refine.
Yeah.
Rejoice.
Good. Reject. Yeah, let's don't do that. Okay, so in the next few weeks and on Christmas Eve, we're going to focus on five R-E words. And except for one, you didn't get them. Okay? Refocus. That's today. Resolve. Respond. Reflect, and then rejoice. Okay, so that's where we're going over the next few weeks. So refocus, resolve, respond, reflect, rejoice. Okay? So what does it mean to refocus? First of all, it implies that you focused once before, at least. Right? So if you have never focused on Christ, get busy. Get busy. Refocus. So again, when we think about what we're planning for the next few weeks and what our priorities are, how many of those things have to do with focusing on Christ? How many of them? All of them. Okay. Good. Good. So I found this poem, which I tweaked a little bit because some of it was very political and I didn't want to do that. But listen to this poem. 'Twas the month before Christmas when all through our land not a Christian was praying nor lending a hand. See, the PC police, politically correct, had taken away the reason for Christmas no one could say. The children were told by their songs not to sing about shepherds and wise men and angels and things. It might hurt people's feelings, the teachers would say. December 25th is just a holiday. Yet the shoppers were ready with cash, checks, and credit, pushing folks down to the floor just to get it. CDs from Madonna and Xbox and iPod, something was changing, something quite odd. retailers promoted Ramadan and Kwanzaa in hopes to sell books by Franken and Fonda. As Target was hanging their trees upside down, at Lowe's the word Christmas was nowhere to be found. At Kmart and Staples and Penny's and Sears, you won't hear the word Christmas. It won't touch your ears. While Jesus in heaven longs for our love, that we would set our thoughts on heaven above. Now shoppers, now buyers, now papers, now flyers, on grown-ups, on children, on sales, and more buyers. At the top of our capital, there arose such a clatter to eliminate Jesus in all public matter. And we spoke not a word as they took away our faith, forbidden to speak of salvation and grace. The true gift of Christmas was exchanged and discarded. The reason for the season stopped before it started. So as you celebrate winter break under your dream tree, sipping your Starbucks, listen to me. Choose your words carefully. Choose what you say. Shout, Merry Christmas! Not Happy Holiday. It's time to refocus. It's time. It's past time. So, who are these guys? There are some hints there. Some of you are like, is it a shepherd? No. It's kind of a, giveaway. Lamb, sheep. Yeah. These are the shepherds. And Debbie read about this today. Next week we'll have the nativity set up here. But these shepherds focused on a lot of things, but it wasn't necessarily God. Okay, they were living in the fields, living in the fields. Do you get that when you read the scripture? They're not just out there for their night shift. They live out there. Okay, so sheep are their lives. What was their focus? Sheep. And sheep. And sheep. And probably, as we prayed for, food and water and shelter. Those things, that was their focus. Now picture yourself at your work, whatever it is, and you're focusing on that work. Or if you're somebody who stays at home, you're focusing on whatever you do at home. You're focusing. And that's where all of your energy and attention is going. Maybe you're focusing on sports. This is Sunday after all. Maybe you're focused on your family. Those are not bad things. I'm going to watch the Seahawks tonight. Hello. But picture that you're there and suddenly there's an angel in front of you. An angel. And you know it's an angel. It's not like, that can't be an angel. No, you know. Because the glory of the Lord is shining all around you as well as that angel. Do you think that would get your attention? Kind of hope so. And it got theirs. So what is their focus now? Probably survival. Because it says they were terrified. They were sore afraid, it says in one of the old translations. They were terrified. And the angel says, fear not. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy. That word good tidings is actually the word gospel in the language. I bring you a gospel which will be for all people. Not just the religious people. All people. All people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth. And again, old translation, swaddling clothes. And lying in a manger. And suddenly, then what happens? Okay, here you are, you're at work. And this angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord is shining. That's probably pretty bright. The glory of the Lord is shining around you. And you hear this news. Newsflash! But then what happens? And suddenly, with the angel, there was what? A whole bunch of them. How many of you have been to my house and seen my angel collection? Okay, you'll have to come over during the holidays. There's an open house because it's pretty crazy. They kind of clone themselves. I won't own the fact that eBay and I were really good friends for a long time and I got these angels. Well, these angels to me are kind of a representation of what the heavenly host is, because the word for host is army. Wow. This isn't a choir. They sing. But they're more than that. The heavenly host all around your office building, all around your home. Wow. Where is your focus? I think it's on the angels. I'm thinking those sheep, man, they've faded into the background. You're on your own, sheep. I got this in front of me. And what did they do? A nice R-E word, respond. How did they respond? What'd they do? Angels went away and they go, wow, that was cool. Let's go take care of the sheep. Is that what they did? Are you awake? What did they do? With haste, as fast as they could, they went to Bethlehem. And we don't know exactly where they were when they started, but I do know this because I've been there. If you're in Jerusalem, Bethlehem's not too far away, and it's all downhill from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. You look over into Bethlehem. So I can picture them on one of those hills and a full bolt run down that hill as fast as they can get there to where that baby is in a manger. Is that how we respond? Is it how we respond? They were focusing on this good news. So they come, and it says, so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. Think about that. I hadn't really thought about this way. So here's Mary and Joseph. Okay? And they've had the baby. And suddenly these shepherds show up. First of all, that would be a surprise. But then secondly, the shepherds tell them this amazing story. And it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Did you catch that word, all? Who was there? All who heard it. It's probably not just Mary and Joseph. I think other people have shown up by now. All who heard it were amazed. So, what was the shepherd's focus after seeing the baby? What do you think? I don't think it was on the sheep either, Betty. Well, who knows what happened to the sheep when they all ran down the mountain? They're focusing on that baby. Can you imagine an angel telling you this baby's going to be born? He's the Savior. He's Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. They've been waiting for thousands of years. And there he is. And what do? They can't wait to get back and tell everybody they see. And they are praising and they are glorifying God. It says, for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So my question is, how much glorifying and praying do we do over the Advent season and beyond? Is that our focus? If Luke wrote about each one of us in the gospel, what would he say about our response to the birth of Jesus? What would he say? something to think about. So how do we go about refocusing? Romans 12:2 that Debbie read says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I love the word for transformed here. It is this word. You ready? Metamorphoso. What is that word in the English now? That was Greek. Metamorphosis. Where do you read about metamorphosis? Butterflies. Yeah, those caterpillars turn into butterflies. We need to do that. We're just little bugs. And we need to transform. God has given us wings. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew. Oh, an R-E word. Go figure. Literally to be made new again. And by new, it's new in your belief. When you accepted Christ, those of you that have invited him into your hearts, I hope it's something you look back on and go, wow. Wow. That was the most important decision I ever made. To be made new again. How do we do it? First, we don't conform to the world. Right? That it says it right there in Scripture. Don't say happy holidays. Have you figured out this is a pet peeve of mine? Yeah. I make a point of it. Somebody says happy holidays to me, I say, well, Merry Christmas! Every time. Every time. You know what's funny? How many of them turn to me and say, Merry Christmas? Because then they have permission. I never would say it to my school kids. I was very fortunate. My principal was a pastor's kid. And so he never reprimanded me, but I could have gotten in trouble for that. But it was Merry Christmas, kids. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, always. Don't be consumed by the pressure to buy more than you can afford. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's unwise, and it's not pleasing to God. And don't be consumed by wanting things. Sometimes Christmas is about, what am I going to get? What am I going to get? What am I going to get? And it's funny, I'll confess to you, when I was married, my ex-husband was not really great at gift giving. And it was kind of a bummer. And so, well, he didn't have a clue. And he always shopped for me on Christmas Eve afternoon. He really was a pretty good guy. But, you know, this was not his strength. And so I got really annoyed. And I finally said, okay, here's a list. You just choose. You can buy me whatever you want off that list. Okay? You can do it. You can surprise me with a couple of things if you want. Please. At least one thing off of this list. Now I do it for my sons. Mom, we don't know what you want. Well, let me tell you. And so, actually, it's hard to think of things. I'm so blessed at this point. I'm like, I don't know what I want. But I want time with them. That's where my priorities are now. But that's what I did. But what if I made a list of presents for what I want to give? What if that's my list? Especially things that aren't things. My gift of time. My gift of service. A gift for Christ. It's his birthday, after all. It's his birthday. Refocus. Refocus. If you had a camera and somebody looked at the scene of your life and focused in, you know, one of those big lenses, where would the focus go? Would it go on that house you have, on some other possession you have, on your kids, on your spouse? Those things are not bad things, of course. But what the focus needs to be is squarely on Jesus Christ. Squarely. Spend time with him this holiday season. Draw closer to him. He'll help you focus. Works every time. Works every time. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, so easy to get distracted. Everything is pulling us in directions that aren't towards you. Lord, even the good things can get in the way. Please, Lord, help us to take that camera and to move that lens until all we see in the picture is you. And then, Lord, show us how that focus can lead to the joy of the season that so many of us miss. Lord, thank you for coming. Thank you for the adventure that you invite us to be part of. Lord, we are amazed. It's in your name we pray. Amen.